Good morning, and welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church. What a joy it is to see all of you gathered here today for worship, and know that there are many more of you joining us for worship online. I hope you picked up a calendar sheet when you came in to worship, and also picked up your March Madness ballot. We're continuing to vote on our favorite worship hymns, and we are down to the final four. These are the four which will be a part of a sermon series this summer, but now your votes will be for determining the rank of that sermon series and the order. So be sure to complete that bracket and turn it in later in the worship service. If you didn't get a bracket, they're available at the Chestnut Street Lobby or in the Narthex. Also, on your weekly sheet, you will find some events coming up with Holy Week, including ordering for Easter lilies and a bake sale, which will be by the United Women in Faith next Sunday, Palm Sunday. This week in your mail, you will receive, many of you will receive, information about our yearly Hallelujah offering. This is one of the traditions at First United Methodist Church, and it started as a special offering to challenge our members to tithe during Holy Week and beyond. A tithe is a biblical concept with its roots in Malachi 3:10. The challenge may seem daunting, especially if you do not proportionally give to the church, but it is the first step in biblical generosity. This special offering is received at Easter to fund specific ministries. The specific ministries this year include supporting the retreat for our confirmation class. We have 15 confirmands who we'll pray for later in the service, so we'll fund their retreat. It will also be for investing in the worship experience. We're doing upgrades to our sound system. And any gifts raised beyond these two areas will fund new ministries through missions and inviting ministries. You should receive the information in the mail this week, and if not, please go to the church newsletter, and cards and information will be available in the sanctuary entrances next week. Hallelujah offerings will be returned on Easter Sunday by mail or through secure e-giving or via our website or Venmo. If you have questions, please contact me or any other member of the staff. And now let us prepare ourselves for worship. Heavenly Father, we join in worship this Lenten season to seek your mercy and love. Create in us a clean heart and forgive our sins. Help us to faithfully serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. Expectation, everything abandoned.
up as we overflow with praise. For your honor and fame, fall again in this place. Fill us up as we overflow. My weakness.
May be seated. As we go to our time of prayer today, I ask that you keep the family of Joe Pritchard in your thoughts and prayers. His mother died last week and services were yesterday. Also, a word of celebration for all who participated and led with the Easter hunt yesterday. It was a great day. Thank you, Catherine and team, for hosting that event. Also, I remind you to keep in prayer our confirmands, and we're going to pray for them individually as we move to our time of prayer, pastoral prayer, and prayer for our morning offering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are good, and we thank you for your goodness and grace in our lives and the way that it directs us every day. God, we're blessed to be on this journey with you and to know your grace and to grow in our discipleship every day. And we pray for those students among us who are on that journey through confirmation. God, lead them by the Holy Spirit. Help them discern their path of discipleship with you. Bless them. Bless all who are leading and mentoring them as they take this next step of faith. So we lift to you today, Sarah Kate, Emily, Haley, Lydia, Miko, Merritt, Anna Kate, Kennedy, Jade, Maggie, Iris, Ava, Jace, and Maddie. Bless them. Continue to bless us, bless this church, bless our community, our nation, and our world, and bless the offering that it is that we are about to receive. May it be multiplied, and may you guide us in its use so that many might know your love and your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If the usher will come forward, we will now receive our morning offering.
Who am I that the highest gates would welcome? I was lost, but he brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. For me, yes, he died for me.
Children, you're dismissed to Children's Church with Miss Catherine. This Sunday, we examine the next window in our series, Christ Knocking at the Door. This particular window is not found in the sanctuary, but in the prayer room, which we've opened up this morning, left the door open, so I hope you take a moment to look at it before you leave today. It is found in the prayer room on the court side of the sanctuary. The window, like the others, was designed by Joseph Victor Lorenz and installed in 1945 in the original prayer room, which was located on the courtyard side of the narthex. Thus, it was the only window to be moved. It was moved from its original location to the prayer room when there were some architectural renovations to the sanctuary in 1955. It was given in memory of William Burton Small and Rebecca Harbor Small by Marvin Brindley Small and Lucille Stringer Small. Marvin Brindley Small joined the church in 1894 and was the treasurer of the men's Bible class for 42 years of his life. He was an advocate of high-quality church music and offered strong support of his pastors. The window was inspired by world-renowned artist William Holtman Hunt's The Light of the World, which depicts Christ knocking. While many have interpreted this piece of art to be Jesus knocking at someone's heart to enter in for salvation, Holman intended it to be Jesus knocking at an obstinate mind. In the painting, the outside knob is missing, and it must be opened to Jesus from the person on the inside. The painting can be found at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Amazingly, with the bombings of World War II, the painting was miraculously left intact. And now to the scripture which inspired the window. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20. Hear God's word. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word and look at this beautiful piece of art, we pray, dear God, that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up in my small, rural United Methodist Church, there were two pieces of art in my childhood Sunday school class that absolutely traumatized me. One of them happened to be in a storybook for children. And it was an illustration of Noah and the Ark. Not some sweet mural that we see in baby nurseries today, but this was a horrific illustration of the people who were outside of the Ark, who happened to be banging on the side of the Ark. Yes, it was horrific. Some of you have wide eyes. Banging on the side of the Ark, begging for their lives as they are about to drown. Yes, that was in a children's storybook, and I have not forgotten it. The other piece of art that was in that classroom was a print of the stained glass window that hangs in the prayer room. Now, you might be saying to yourself, how can that be traumatic? It's Jesus wanting to enter into your heart. And it wasn't traumatic in the fact that Jesus wants a relationship with us. As a child, for some reason, I thought I was going to miss the knock of Jesus. I thought Jesus was like the impatient salesperson, that he would knock on the door, and if I didn't let him in, he would go away, never to return again. It was kind of like, I guess, growing up in a church where we sang the hymn, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." If you know, you know, and if you don't, turn to page 351 of your hymnal. That is my least favorite hymn in the hymn book because of poor theology. Anyway, I thought Jesus was going to leave, and I wouldn't hear him, and I wouldn't have the opportunity to open my heart to him. Well, in adulthood, I realized that, like with many childhood fears, that this was an unfounded fear. And that actually the artist who created the print didn't have such an interpretation in mind. He was actually thinking about the artwork based on the scripture reading that I just shared with you, and based on an obstinate mind. His thought was Jesus trying to get our attention, to get not only in our heart, but also in our thinking. The scripture passage that goes with the window is about the church of Laodicea. And John writes in the book of Revelation, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you with me." With these words, he reminds the Laodiceans that Jesus is trying to get their attention. With their wealth and self-sufficiency, they have shut Jesus out. They have become indifferent to Christ, and Jesus wants a relationship with them. So if you read in the third chapter of Revelation, you will see that this is the church that was lukewarm. And Jesus said that he wanted to spit them out because they were neither hot nor cold. They were indifferent. They were uncaring. They didn't think they needed Jesus. They had it all together. But boy, were they wrong. Laodicea is located 100 miles east of Ephesus. The city was a major commercial center, and that would have been a very rich area. Instead of being a blessing, their wealth was their downfall. While the church was rich, the scripture about the church leads us to believe that they were morally and spiritually poor. With their self-reliance, they didn't believe that they needed Jesus. They thought they could do it on their own. Now, look at the scripture. Jesus didn't condemn them for being evil or morally corrupt. They were simply lukewarm. They were neither on fire for the Lord, or neither had they turned their backs upon him. Jesus was simply trying to get their attention because he wanted to be part of the church. He wanted to be part of their lives. He wanted them to be on fire for the Lord. So he was knocking and trying to enter the church. I realized that Jesus trying to get their attention in a lukewarm situation may be more alarming than me thinking of my childhood Jesus missing the knock at the door. I would believe, especially today, that the warning to Laodicea might be our warning too. Have we shut Jesus out? Have we become too self-reliant? Are we indifferent? Do we think we got it as a church and we don't need Jesus at the center of our church? Jesus wanting to be part of our lives and in the church is very important and powerful. And we need to pause from our doing from time to time and listen to him knocking. The good news for all of us is that Jesus keeps on knocking. He was initially a part of our lives even before he entered in and even before we heard the knocking at the door. As John reminds us in his first letter, this is love. Not that we love God, but God loved us to send his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loved us first. Now, I believe in free will. I believe we can reject that love, but God always loves us. We might reject it, but God never rejects us. He keeps loving and pursuing and wooing. We are loved by God. We are loved by God no matter how many times we try to shut him out and keep the door locked. God keeps loving us. But not only does God love us and we invite Jesus in that initial moment of receiving his saving grace, but Jesus keeps knocking. He wants our attention throughout our lives. He wants better for us. He wants us to grow in discipleship with him, and that's where the scripture reading for today comes in. In the past few weeks, I've discovered a new friend at my apartment. It's a bird. It's Mr. Woodpecker. And Mr. Woodpecker greets me every morning with a knock, knock, knock. He continues to chip away at the side of the building. And when I return home every night, it's silent. Mr. Woodpecker is gone. And I wonder, is he going to show up the next morning and keep knocking on the side of the building? Guess what? He always does. That is a tenacious bird that likes to knock. But isn't that like Jesus too? Jesus is tenacious and he keeps knocking. It's not one and done. It isn't like an impatient salesman that goes away. Jesus keeps trying to get our attention. And that is a good and blessed thing. He wants our attention to stay connected with him. When we try to close him out, he keeps knocking, never giving up on us, no matter how hard we lock the door and shut the door. Jesus is knocking just like Mr. Woodpecker, and who greets me every day. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. Back to Mr. Woodpecker. Now, I shared that he greets me every morning, and you might have in your mind that he greets me, jolting me awake. That's not true. I sleep with a noisemaker on, so it's kind of like I hear the noisemaker when I first wake up, and then I notice him. But the thing is, as I go about my routine in the morning, he's still there, but I tune him out. If I turn on the TV or listen to a podcast, if I start making coffee or get in the shower or get ready for the day, I don't really hear Mr. Woodpecker. He is still there knocking, but the busyness of my morning drowns him out. And that's kind of like our relationship with Jesus. We get caught up in the busyness of our lives. There's literal noise of social media, of the world, of different things in our lives which crowd us, of busyness. And then there's going about our routine, and even our spiritual routine. We get stuck in a rut, and we go from one thing to the next, and we don't hear Jesus knocking, but he's there. The noise of daily life crowds out his knocking. I recently heard an illustration on a podcast that stuck with me. Let's say there are two radio stations that play the exact same song at the exact same moment. Which one will you hear? Of course, the one you're tuned into. And that's how we live in the world. We hear what we are tuned into. If we are tuned into the world, we will hear the world. If we are tuned into Christ knocking in our lives, we will hear that knocking. So take some time this week just to be quiet and hear that knocking. Is Jesus trying to get your attention? Is he wanting you to let him in? Pause from the noise that is filling your silence. Pause from the schedule that keeps you going, the to-do list with items to check off, or the routine that blindly leads you from one commitment to the next. Hear Jesus through the ways you typically hear him, but make some space in your life for other ways too. This could be prayer or reading your Bible or worship or silence or being in nature, listening to a Christian podcast, or just taking some time to inhale and exhale, listening to the Lord. Just as we are created differently, the avenues which we hear the Lord are different too. They are varied. So start somewhere and start listening. Also, remember that one of the gifts of Sabbath is being able to tune into the Lord. Sabbath is just not about showing up for worship, which is an important part of our life of discipleship, but Sabbath is also breaking our routine. It's finding rest. It's finding joy and being in the moment. It's finding something different from everyday busyness and work and life. Take some time to find Sabbath in your life. And in those moments of breaking routine and silence, I think you'll better be able to hear Jesus and notice his knocking around you. For the Laodiceans, the background noise was their wealth that made them not realize Jesus was knocking. It was indifference which drowned him out. And it could be the same for us. We could be so comfortable with our spiritual life that we don't even notice Jesus knocking anymore. Or we could be so comfortable in our lives with what we have. We don't rely upon Jesus. We don't need to hear him knocking, so we shut him out. We may think we've got it figured out, and we are comfortable. Why would we want to be uncomfortable? After all, lukewarm can be pretty comfortable. If you're hot, it might be uncomfortable. If you're cold, you might be uncomfortable. You can just sail along being lukewarm. But Jesus wants more for you, and that's why he keeps knocking. He wants you to hear his knocking because he wants what's best for you. As I've told you the story of Mr. Woodpecker, some of you are getting alarmed. You are saying to yourself, you've got to do something about that woodpecker, Sherry, because he is creating a hole in your building, and that hole leads to moisture, decay, and animals. And that's what you're thinking at this very moment, that I need to be proactive. If I ignore the knocking of Mr. Woodpecker, something bad can happen. There'll be consequences. Well, if we ignore Jesus' knocking in our life, we miss the greatness that he wants for us. We miss the possibilities and opportunity. Jesus wants to get our attention, not to punish us or to scold us when he gets inside, but he wants to get our attention because he wants what's best for us. Jesus wanted better for the Laodiceans, and Jesus wanted them to be more than lukewarm. He wanted them to be hot and on fire. It wasn't enough for them to remain as they were, but he wanted something great. As Jesus reminded us in the Gospel of John, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus wants a more abundant life for you. Jesus is knocking. This is not scary. This is not something to fear, but he is knocking, and he wants to lead you toward more. And maybe that is why the window ended up in the prayer room. After all, prayer is one of the best ways that we hear Jesus knocking. Prayer is one of the most profound ways he's gotten my attention and probably yours too. So if you go in the prayer room and pray, and as you stare up at this window, kneeling at the communion, at the altar rail, listen closely. Do you hear him? And if so, for goodness sake, get up and open the door. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for all the knocks in our life, whether that be the knock to remind us that you're with us always, or the knock to invite us to enter into saving relationship with you, or the knock that calls us to vocation and calling and a deeper life with you and that abundant life. Help us stop in this time to listen. How might you want us to be warm on fire, heated up for you? How might you want us to bless the world in your name? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Everything else can wait. I've come to seek your face. So everything else can wait. I'm here for you. I want to just be
If you have a prayer need in your life or would like to unite with First United Methodist Church, either by profession of faith or transfer of membership, I'll be available after the worship service to pray with you. Now, next week, you will not want to miss, because it is the final week of our March Madness. It's not begun yet with college basketball, but it's concluding here as we'll vote for our favorite worship song. Also, we look at the next window in our series, which happens to be given in a very tragic situation in another child death, and that is the window in the back corner facing Chestnut Street, which is Jesus in the garden. So now go forth from this place. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. Amen.